Our first scripture reading of the morning is from the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament. We are looking at the character of Solomon today, and this is one of the places in which we'll learn a little bit more about Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. I invite you to follow along on the screen or in those blue pew Bibles that are before you. It says this, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I should give you.' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?' It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, 'Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you.'" And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you remember back in 1987, the movie Rain Man came out. And in one scene, a doctor asks some rather complicated math questions to Ray Babbitt, who's a savant played by Dustin Hoffman, to see if he can calculate them in his mind correctly.
Ray. Raymond.
Yeah?
Are you good with numbers?
Yeah.
I read about this. I want to try something here.
Kmart 400 Oak Street.
What did I tell you after this? After this.
Ray, can we try something?
Yeah.
Do you know how much 312 times 123 is?
38376.
He's right. What? He's right.
He's right?
Yeah. Ray, how much is 4,343 times 1,234?
5359262.
He's a genius.
That's right.
He's a genius.
Ray, do you know how much the square root of 2,130 is?
46.15192304.
2304. That's amazing. I mean, that is amazing. He should work for NASA or something like that.
Well, today, I want to talk about someone who was also really, really smart. Not necessarily about multiplication and square root math questions, but someone who is known for his wisdom, a man by the name of Solomon. Can you imagine becoming the president of the United States while you're still in high school? While your friends are pondering what movie they want to go see on Saturday night, you're worrying about who you're going to appoint to the Supreme Court. They're worrying about the price of gas and how they're going to afford to put it in their car. You're worrying about the national debt. They're worrying about where they might go to college come the fall, but you're worrying about the education for a whole nation. That was young Solomon after the death of his father David. And understandably, Solomon felt overwhelmed. You heard his words earlier. "O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, although I am only a little child." But then one night, God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God says, "Solomon, I want to give you your heart's desire. You name it, anything you want, and I will give it to you. What would you like?" You know, we live in this age of the one-hour video podcast to change our lives because we want a quick fix solution to all of our problems. Someone has said that people today have the attention span of a ferret on a triple cappuccino. There's Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and TikTok, and I'm sure there's other social media outlets out there that allow us to keep a running commentary of our lives in real time. And sometimes I think that we are so busy documenting our lives that we actually may be forgetting to live them out as we tend to view things through this tiny handheld device called a cell phone that we carry with us wherever we go. Well, of all the things that Solomon could have chosen in this world, guess what he chose? He chose wisdom. Solomon says, "I desire an understanding mind, able to discern good and evil, that I might ably govern your people." And God was so pleased that Solomon asked for what the Bible says, that God gave to Solomon a wise and discerning mind. So Solomon, like Lucy Costigan, was the valedictorian of the Bible. He was the Rhodes Scholar King. Now, there's a paradox to this story, though. Think about this. It took wisdom for Solomon to choose wisdom. And so it's really not about having this genius IQ like Raymond Babbitt or Albert Einstein, but it is about godly wisdom that helps us to make smart choices in life. God wants for us to have wisdom to make Solomon's choice in life. So here's a question. Why don't we? Well, one possibility is we don't want to use our minds because of our attitudes. Probably all of us would admit, if we're really honest, that we don't pray enough, right? But how many of us make enough time in our lives to think enough? Well, we value a lot of things in life, but usually thinking is not one of them. A while back, NPR aired an interview with a young Palestinian girl who thought that she wanted to be a suicide bomber. And fortunately, this young girl was apprehended before she blew herself up or hurt or killed other innocent people. But in this interview with NPR, she expressed her amazement at how quickly the terrorists had moved in on her simply because she had voiced an interest in their ideology. Within 2 days, they had strapped explosives to her body. As she said in the interview, "They did not want me to have the time to think." You know, some people believe that when we come to church, we sort of need to check our brains at the door, and we will hear people say, "The Bible says it, I believe it, and that does it." Friends, I think that is the sin of lazy thinking. As Christians, we need to diligently study God's word, to use our minds and our smarts to better determine what is God's will for us. Jesus was an intellectual. In fact, compare the great commandment uttered by Jesus with the commandment from the Old Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And that is how the commandment stood for hundreds of years until Jesus came along and he added 5 words, "and with all your mind." One Bible translation says, "and with all your intelligence." At the age of only 12, Jesus stunned those legal scholars and scribes in the temple with his brilliance. Have you ever wondered what Jesus was doing for the first 29 years of his life? I can tell you, he was studying. And so Jesus doesn't just suggest, but he commands us as his followers to use our minds as well. Well, Solomon pursued the life of the mind. In fact, Solomon became a kind of international Dr. Phil for kings and queens to come and seek his counsel on various governmental issues. Why was that so important to Solomon? Well, it was all out of his love for God. Before, in getting to know the world that God had made, Solomon was getting to know the God who made the world. Remember his prayer, "Lord, give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people." And boy, did God ever answer that prayer. So I want to invite you to join with me as I read our second scripture reading, also from 1 Kings, also from chapter 3. We're looking at these top 40 stories in the Bible, this is one of those that kind of lands for me. It's this classic Solomon story. Again, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. It says, later, two women who were prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, please, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth. We were together. There was no one else with us in the house. Only the two of us were in the house. Then this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your servant slept. She laid him at her breast and laid her dead son at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my son, I saw that he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, clearly it was not the son I had born. But the other woman said, no, the living son is mine and the dead son is yours. The first said, no, the dead son is yours and the living son is mine. So they argued before the king. Then the king said, the one says, this is my son that is alive and your son is dead, while the other says, not so, your son is dead and my son is the living one. So the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. The king said, divide the living boy in two, then give half to the one and half to the other. But the woman, whose son was alive, said to the king, because compassion for her son burned within her, please, my lord, give her the living boy. Certainly do not kill him. The other said, it shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide it. Then the king responded, give the first woman the living boy. Do not kill him. She is his mother. All Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to execute justice. Friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, to recap the story, here come two women with one baby. And one woman says, this is my baby. And the other says, no, it's my baby. No, it's mine. She's lying. No, I'm not lying. She's lying because I'm the mother. No, you're not the mother. And I might imagine Solomon sort of sitting on his throne with his arms folded, his hand on his chin, as he listens to this, she said, back and forth story. And finally he says, well, I guess it's your word against hers, and there's no real way to find out who the mother is, so I guess we'll just have to take a sword, cut the baby in half, and give each of you half of that baby. And the one woman says, well, I guess so. But the other woman says, no, you just give the baby to her. Please don't hurt that baby. And Solomon smiles and says, I think I know who the real mother is. And the Bible says that story spread throughout the land, and the people perceived that the wisdom of God was in him. Oh, friends, wouldn't it be great if we could also say that about our elected leaders? The wisdom of God is in him, or the wisdom of God is in her. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you that God still gives wisdom to those who ask. So, let me ask you, are you someone right now who feels overwhelmed by all the decisions you have to make? Are you someone who's having trouble sleeping at night because you don't know what's the right choice? Maybe you're someone here today or someone watching online who would give anything to have that wisdom from God to guide you, whether it's in your job or as a parent or as a community leader, or in your finances, or maybe simply as a church committee member here at Chestnut Level. Well, one verse of comfort to me as a pastor, it's a verse that sort of prevents me from tossing and turning too much at night, wrestling with difficult decisions, is found in the New Testament in the book of James. It's in the first chapter, verse 5. Listen to what James writes. If any of you is lacking wisdom, James says, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. If you are someone who is seeking wisdom, God has placed his wisdom within the pages of his holy word. The bottom line is the Bible is the distilled wisdom of Almighty God made available to you and me. So, can I ask you a question? You can take this home and wrestle with it yourself. Will you make Solomon's choice in your life as you make your own decisions each and every day? Because just remember, every useful thing that has ever been created, whether it's a painting in a museum, a piece of music, the book of 1 Kings, a meaningful Sunday school lesson, this beautiful sanctuary in which we worship, all of that stuff is here because someone spent some time in quiet thought. And you know what? That doesn't mean it's going to come easy. And that doesn't mean it's going to come naturally. You know, nothing worthwhile ever does without some form of sacrifice. I'll close with this story. Robert Schuller tells the story of sitting on an airplane, and he's right next to a Stanford University mathematics professor. And this math professor told Robert Schuller of what happened to him when he was a graduate student years earlier at Stanford. He arrived late to the final exam in an advanced calculus math class to take the test. And when he arrived, the problems were already written on the blackboard. Now, what he had missed by coming in 5 minutes late was that the professor had already explained that the first five problems were, in fact, the final exam, and that he put problem number six on the board, and it was a mathematical enigma that had never been solved. And the professor just sort of put it on the board as a kind of an extra credit for you to take a crack at after those first five problems were already completed. Well, this was not a test that you took in the classroom, but you got to take it home. But it was due the next morning, 8 a.m. sharp, at the professor's office. And so that graduate student took home the exam. He went back to his dorm, and he worked hard through those first five problems. But you know what? He could not make heads or tails out of problem number six. So he panicked because he did not know that that was not part of the test. He worked at it some more. He made a pot of coffee, and he stayed up all night long working on problem number six. And then finally, with the clock winding down towards 8 o'clock, he dejectedly put down the best answer that he could. He walked across the campus to the professor's office, and he slipped the exam through the slot in the door, and then he went back to his dorm room. Well, that night, as you might imagine, he was exhausted, so he went to bed early. But he was awakened out of a sound sleep by a loud knocking on the door of his apartment. He got out of bed, he opened the door, and would you know it, his professor is standing there. He said, "You did it! I can't believe it, you did it." And he said, "Did what? What are you talking about?" The professor said, "You solved the classical mathematical enigma that has never been solved before." And he told Robert Schuller on the plane that that was one of the reasons why he had gotten the teaching position at Stanford in the first place. And then he said, "But you know, if I had showed up to class on time, I never would have solved the problem. By coming just a few minutes late, I didn't get to tell my mind that I couldn't do it." Friends, never sell yourself short intellectually. And don't let ChatGPT do all the thinking for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart? Absolutely. Love the Lord your God with all your soul? Definitely. But also love the Lord your God with all your mind, even if you have to stay up all night long. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, I'm willing to bet that there are those who stand at the crossroads in their lives. Some may be facing clear-cut situations where you have already spoken, and we know what we need is the strength to simply obey and do what we're supposed to do. We thank you that when we ask you for wisdom, you are more than happy to give it to us. And finally, Lord God, grant us the wisdom we so lack, but that you have promised to give so generously to us. In Jesus' name, amen.